So we've been discussing the process of constructing an Eruv. We discussed yesterday the physical properties of Halachic Mechitzos, and we even looked a little bit at the Eruv, and then we already mentioned the concept of the Eruv Chatzeros. There is one further detail I would like to mention, just to be fully educated on this topic. So look in Shin Pei Beis. Open up to Shin Pei Beis. See if I'll... Okay, the background is, as we mentioned, that when you have a Rishus HaYachid, such as a Chatzer, which has multiple people with access rights or usage rights, so then, there's a problem So get it. I don't want to hear. Just get it. Okay, so then it is a problem to carry in that area. Unless you do an Eruv Chatzeros. Okay. Shin Pei Beis Zif Aleph. Chesna. Okay. Baker.
I'll do the next one. Adar im akur bechatzer eino ozer la ad chi yushne Yisraelim darim yushne batim bozum zel zel.
Okay, so to make a long story short, if you have more than one Jew living in a chatzer, and keep in mind that when we have, you know, a modern day apartment building is a chatzer. If more than one Jew in the apartment building, or if we put an Eruv around the neighborhood, the whole neighborhood is a Chatzer. So it's one big Rishus HaYachid. So if you have more than one Jew, and you have a non-Jew, so then we have a problem in terms of carrying there without an Eruv, without something to join, to unify the Rishus into one entity, as opposed to a Rishus HaYachid, which different people have equal access to. Continue on.
As ha'aku oser
leyam. Okay, so the presence of the non-Jew asers them from carrying there, even if they have an Eruv Chatzeros. The Eruv Chatzeros is not enough. Continue on.
Ve'ina mo'il shivat al-akum v'shitalo el-asayach she'yaskiru.
Cheskiru mimenu.
Mimenu.
Okay. So in this case, what you need to do is what's known as Schirus Rishus. You basically have to rent from them their the right to use their chelek of the joint area. That's what you need to do. Schiras Rishus. So this really applies to basically every neighborhood that we live in. There's generally going to be a non-Jew there, or a non-Frum Jewish family. Same din. Okay, the Eruv Chatzeros only works for people who are religious, who keep Shabbos. Otherwise, it doesn't work. So you have to do what's called Schiras Rishus. So how do you do this? You can go house to house doing Schiras Rishus. So in the olden days it was easy because the entire town or the entire country was considered the personal property of the governor or the king. So you just do schiras rishus from them. Bismanenu, it's not really like that. Here in Israel it's a little bit more like that because a lot of the land is owned by the government. And you just basically have a long-term, when you buy a house in many places in Israel, you just do a long-term rental of the land from the government. A plot of land, it's a 50-year rental. But in many countries, it's not really like that. The government doesn't own all the land. So how does it work? So the general assumption is that it is sufficient to do schiras rishus from the government, from the mayor of the town, from the police, the chief of police of the town. And the reason is that there is a rule of eminent domain, which basically means that the authorities have the right to enter your personal property whenever they deem fit. They can do a search of your house. So since they have those rights, they're considered, the generally accepted psak is that they're considered to have rights to all the Yeri, and you could do schiras rishus from them. Not that there are poskim who disagree with this. I saw a quote in Emir Rebbe Yashiv that he held that no, that since the government cannot decide to store items in your personal property, therefore they don't have enough rights there to rent out that the use of that area to you. And that would be a huge chumrah. That would basically be mevatel all Eruvim.
They could, though.
Yeah.
What's that?
They could. They could eminent right. domain and store stuff on your
property. Can they?
Yeah.
Is that right? You sure?
Like wartime, yeah.
Okay, I don't know. So check out that.
That would require one Congress to,
that's where, like, a lot of times, actually, like, they're building something, yeah. They'll try to buy it, and if the prison says no, then they'll give them some money and just take the property.
Like, let's say they're building a railroad, and your house in the middle of the railroad, then
they'll offer you money if you reject it.
Is that right? You sure about that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, and it's much easier, then it's not such a, you know, it's not such a stretch at all. Then that makes a lot of sense. All right, each place, each country, they'll have to figure it out. I saw a picture online of some place, I don't remember where it was, where they bought out all of the houses to build some sort of huge, I don't know what, some sort of major project. And you could see, like, it was like they had already dug out, everything was dug out, and there's this island in the middle, one house. That guy didn't sell. And his house was right there. And it was I think it was a government project. And that was it. So I don't remember where that was. It was not in the United States. I don't remember where it was exactly. Okay, but each place will go by the by the rules of that place. But anyway, that's the way it's normally done. A foreign embassy. So the way that generally works is that's considered to be the territory of that country.
Yeah.
They have like a beachhead in every other country in their embassy.
So Imkain,
okay, but I'm saying Imkain, that you can't do schiras reshus from the mayor of this of this city on the sovereign territory of some other country. You have to do schiras reshus from that country, or else you just can't carry into that area. It's like one second, it would be considered to be it has walls around it, so it's considered to be its own separate area, not covered in the area that you can carry into for the area. You got a question?
So in capital cities, this is a real problem.
It's not such a big problem unless you want to go into the embassy.
Yeah.
Or into their territory. Okay, but yeah, it's
something that doesn't exist. Cities like Washington, D.C., they're not owned by like a state or like a...
What?
Like Washington, embassy is owned by... Like
Washington, D.C., what, the city?
Yeah, it's in theory not... It's part of the entity, but it's not part of the state. It's not represented by the state law.
Okay, it's not represented by state law, but it's part of... No, I don't see why that's relevant. The fact that it's not part of one of the 50 states is not relevant.
They have two senators.
Do they?
I think so.
No, they don't. They're not two senators.
That's their whole idea. They get pissed off. They're getting taxed.
Oh, yeah. That's
the shortest.
Well, they don't have senators.
They don't have senators,
which is frustrating to them.
They
get three electoral votes.
They get three electoral votes
for president.
In the presidential election. And they're not represented in the Senate.
No, I think they get in the House of Representatives.
But not in the Senate.
The most common use is a property taken by eminent domain or for government buildings and other facilities, public utilities, highways, and railroads.
So they can just confiscate your house and say you're out of
it. No, they offer you money.
No, they give you money.
They compensate you, but I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Like a lot of times.
Okay.
They give you like low market value.
No, they give you.
They don't give you enough.
Obviously,
they give you like the cheapest that like someone would sell it for.
Very nice.
And then they take away another 10%.
Okay, so then it makes a lot of sense with eminent domain. Very good. Okay, what happens if there's a problem with the area?
They don't have house representatives.
Washington, D.C. doesn't have anyone in the House of Representatives either? They have absolutely no congressmen?
They don't get anything. Wow. But they are the congressmen. So,
there's people who live in Washington, D.C.
That's their fault.
It says it's like... Why
would you move to Washington,
D.C.?
Unless you're, I guess you could count if you're
a basically. Okay, good. What happens in the event that there's an issue with Eruv? So first of all, a person should be checking, to make sure that the Eruv is up. You could assume that it's up unless you know otherwise, but you should. There should be some manner of communication. Whoever is maintaining the area obviously should be checking out that it remains functional. Sometimes you can have a situation where it goes down last minute, or it goes down even on Shabbos. So the halacha is, first of all, it would be permissible to have a non-Jew do what's necessary to fix the Eruv. This doesn't need to be done by a Jew. It's just a matter of having a physical mechitza. So if a string gets torn or something, you can have a non-Jew repair it on Shabbos. If necessary, if that's not possible, you can even have a Jew fix it as long as doing so does not involve any malachas or any you can't tie it on. You can if you can tie it on in a way in a manner that's not considered to be a malach of kosher, for example, that would be possible. If not, let's say it's just down. It's a storm and it's just down. So the halacha is, quote in Shira Shabbos Kilkasa, that not only is it not necessary, it's probably not even advisable to make a big public proclamation that the Eruv is down. He says, you can tell people privately who you know will be able to, are not going to carry because they know the Eruv is down. But to make a big public proclamation, oftentimes it's not shayach, I guess it depends on the community where you are, but oftentimes it's not shayach that people are going to not carry the entire day, especially if they're already in shul and they have, difficult situations, things they brought to shul, people they brought to shul, whatever it is.
Sometimes it's online, though.
Okay. So I'm saying if Shabbos has already started, people are already out, so it's not shach that everyone's going to be able to not carry. And if they do carry, not knowing about it, so that's called misasik. They don't even know that they're doing a ma'aseh malacha at all. And the isser involved is not a full again, assuming there's no rishus aram deraisa. It's not a malacha deraisa, it's a derabbanon. So misasik of a din derabbanon is really a very, very, very low level of a violation. We'd rather have that than people knowing what they're doing and violating an isser derabbanon. If you have people that you know, that you tell them that's down, they're not going to carry, so then you could spread the word. Otherwise you wouldn't, yeah.
Wouldn't it be better for, if let's say there's, no non-Jews and the air is down, so, a Jew would fix it, you didn't break, let's say, this or Darabana, because it would still be better than people breaking it?
So that we don't say.
That would also for sure be Isser. Be over some Doraita.
You're purposely going ahead and violating an Isser to save people from doing a misasik of an Isser Darabon. No, it doesn't work that way. Yeah.
I think what you recommend for the communities that send out a letter, the air is down or not.
Okay, if they have a system in place where they notify people before Shabbos, then fine, then great. Then people will know about it and they won't get into any sticky situations.
But even then, the same people are still going to care.
Presumably not, if they know about it. The chashash is, okay, there's two chashashos. One is that people are not used to keeping these halachas, which is a problem. Okay? So that's one level of consideration. And the other level of consideration is, even if people are not, people are not used to it, but they'd be willing to, but if they're already in a situation where it's very difficult, so then they might not live up to the standards. Okay, so to publicize before Shabbos, okay, so once in a while, there might be a need to have a Shabbos without a Erev, okay. That's part of Hilchos Shabbos, is that there's an Isser of Otzah, even though we're not used to it in many of our communities. Right. But to go ahead when people are already out and about, and they're going to get to, it's going to be very difficult for them, people walking down the street carrying things, and you're going to tell them, oh, the Erev's down, now what do I do, etc. So, oftentimes people will just keep on carrying. Okay, we'll discuss. Okay, very good. So hopefully we shouldn't need that. There is an inyan to bedavka make Erevin.
We have five.
There's an inyan to make Erevin. It makes Shabbos so much more convenient. And Lamaisa, it saves people from violating Surim. There's an inyan to make Erevin.
It's in the Mishnah, the three things you check before Shabbos.
Yes, yeah. That's correct. A person does have to be careful. Very good. Okay. Until now, we have mostly focused. On the rishuyos hayachar, rishus harabim, and eruv, etc. Now, let us switch focus a little bit and discuss the actual mechanics of the malacha itself. Okay. So we said that there are three ways to violate the malacha d'oraisa. What are the three ways to violate the malacha d'oraisa? Rishus ha-yachid to Rishus ha-rabim. Or carrying from Rishus ha-rabim to Rishus ha-yachid. Or?
Carmelis.
No, Carmelis is the rabban. We said yachid, rabim, yachid. And Mavir Dalid Amos Birshus Arabim. If you carry four Amos within a Rishus Arabim, even though you did not transfer from one Rishus to another, that is an Issa D'Oraisa. In order to understand this better, let us open up to Siman Shin Mem Zayin. Shin Mem Zayin. Shin Mem Zayin is still in Dalet. We're not up to Gimel yet. But we will go back to Chelek Gimel. Sorry. Okay. Ellie, we're back to you.
Aleph?
Mm-hmm.
Metzora Enoch Hayalev. Elokid Sheol Kerech Chefetz Rishud Hayalev V'Nichu Rishud Haravim.
I looked for one.
Oh, Yichu. Abba Pasha Yadol L'Fnim Chefetz Verdo. Untalo Chavero Chavero Ha'omer D'Naim. Orshe Pasha Yadol L'Chus V'Chefetz Verdo Mutalov of Ero Hamas Bahut, Shaza Akar Vizanya, Shneam Kiturim Aba Asar Lasok in Midyolan.
So what the Shulchan Aruch is telling us here actually is based on the very, very first Mishnah of Masechet Shabbos. And the klal is as follows. In order to violate a melacha, there needs to be what's called an Akira, as well as a Hanacha, after having transferred from one rishus to another. Maybe we can add an interim step of ha'avara, the transfer. Akira means uprooting. That's when you uproot the item from its current location. Let's say from a rishus hayachid to rishus harabim. I pick up the item in the rishus hayachid. That's called an akira. I then take it out into the rishus harabim. And now I do the hanacha. I place it down in the rishus harabim. Or vice versa. Akira in the Rishus Arabim and the Hanacha in the Rishus Ayachid. Or Akira in the Rishus Arabim and then a Hanacha 4 Amos away in the Rishus Arabim. Without one of these components, you have not violated a Malacha D'Oraisa. So for example, Mr. Masech Shabbos, opening Mishnah. If I pick up an item in the Rishus Ayachid, I carry it out to the Rishus Arabim, and then someone else takes it out of my hand without my stopping, without my putting it down, I did not do a hanacha. I did a transfer. I took it out from the Rishus Ayachid to the Rishus Arabim. But what did I not do? Hanacha, I didn't put it down. I violated an Issur D'Rabbanan. I did not violate an Issur D'Oraisa. Or the other way, I go ahead and I take from Rishus Arabim and I transfer to Rishus Ayachid, but I don't put it down in the Rishus Ayachid. Someone takes it out of my hand. Or if I skip the Akira stage, let's say that someone else picks up the item in the Rishus Hayachid and puts it into my hand. I didn't pick it up. Someone put it into my hand, and then I take it out to Rishus Rabbim and put it down. I transferred the Rishuyos, I put it down in the new Rishus, I didn't do an Akira. That's an Issur D'Rabbanan. It's a partial Malacha.
It's in your pocket. Is that Akira?
Okay. So it depends. It's, let's say an item is in my pocket. Okay, 1 second, before we get to that. Okay, now an Akira doesn't have to be that the item is on a table or on the floor and I pick it up. Akira and a Hanacha doesn't have to be that I put it down on a table or on the floor. Okay? If a person is stationary, so the Chefetz is considered to be Munach. It's considered to be placed down in one place. I start moving, that is considered to be an Akira. So let's say I pick up an item in the Rishus Hayachid, I walk into the Rishus Arabim, and I stop to rest. I stop to look around at the view. So that's called a Hanacha, the Rishus Arabim. Now I did an Akira and I did a Hanacha. Or let's say I was already stationary, and I have something that I'm holding, and I start moving. That's called an Akira. Now I stop moving. This is called a Hanacha. Okay, so you can have an Akira and Hanacha, which are less than completely obvious. As David already alluded to, you can carry things even if they're not in your hand. It doesn't have to specifically be in your hand. Any normal way of carrying something is considered to be carrying. Let's say you have something in your pocket. That's a pretty normal way to transport items. So that would be considered to be carrying.
It's a whole question of you have chetzi shir and one fogin, chetzi shir.
Okay, fine. Okay, chetzi shir. Let's have a whole shir. I have an object in my pocket. I have a tissue in my pocket. I have a key in my pocket. So this is considered to be carrying, even if I didn't pick it up. So let's say I'm sitting in my house. Now I get up and I start walking. That's called an akira. I go outside, there's no eruv. Now I'm in a Rishus HaRabim, where I'm in a Carmelis, so it's Derabanan. But now I'm in a Carmelis, and I stop walking. I stand there. So, now I did a Hanocha. That is a violation of a Malacha Derabanan if it's a Carmelis. Or if it's a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa, it's a violation of a Malacha Deraisa. Now I start walking again in the Rishus HaRabim, or in the Carmelis, and I go back into my house, and I sit down. That was another Akira in the Rishus HaRabim, and a Hanocha in the house. That's another Malacha. Yeah.
Is throwing an item halacha?
Yep. Throwing an item does count as a malacha of Hotzah and Shabbos. If I take an item in the Rishus HaYochan and I throw it into the Rishus HaRabim, so as well, that is, yeah.
That's if it passes over as malacha on another Rishus
HaYochan. Okay, good. It's a good question. It's an Issur D'Rabbanan. It's an Issur D'Rabbanan. I remember back in the day, we used to go away for the summer to a certain location. And there was, there was a big open grassy area, and there was an eruv around it. And we'd play whatever. We were little kids. We'd play ball. We'd play elimination or whatnot. Invariably, at some point, the ball would go outside the eruv. And some kid would find, we'd be like, invent all the very creative minds, invent all these kulas. They'd kick it in, they'd throw it in, whatever. They knew they couldn't carry it back in. But if you threw it in, that was okay. If you kicked it in, that was okay. No, that's the same thing as carrying it in. That didn't work. Those creative kulos did not work. So that's also a problem. Okay. Very good. Let us discuss some further details with regard to the issue here of carrying. So we mentioned that carrying anything in a normal way is aser Midaraisa, if you're talking about Rishus HaYochid, Rishus Ram Deraisa. Okay? In an abnormal way, it would be an Isser Derabanan. Now, we do this, now this only applies to something which is considered to be a like separate object, a foreign object. Obviously, clothing, we allow walking outside in clothing, even without an Eruv. That's that. Now, in theory, you're carrying it on your body. But that's not considered. Clothing is considered to be something which serves your body, and it's not called carrying. Okay, anything which is derech malbush. Derech malbush is not called carrying. So your clothing, that's acceptable. Anything that you're wearing, a coat, that's acceptable. Even if you don't really need to wear it, you're just wearing it in order to get it to the other place. That's also acceptable. Yeah?
What if you have a sweatshirt you want to tie it around the waist?
Oh, so That's not a way to wear a sweatshirt. It's not really a way to wear a sweatshirt.
Not you're jogging.
It has to be derech levisha.
How does it special if you just have a plaid button down that they just put around the waist?
Okay. Lani is daiti, it's not good enough. I think that's a problem. If there's no eruv, I think that's a problem. Yeah.
What about tzitzis?
Oh, so tzitzis is a beged. It's not a problem to wear them.
The strings
are considered to be part of the beged. However, if the strings are not kosher, then they're considered not to really be subsidiary to the beged, and that would be in addition to the fact that you're wearing a four-corner garment without tzitzis, you're also carrying the strings on Shabbos.
Now I can just wear anything and carry it?
Not anything. It has to be something which is a normal beged.
So how do you wear a hat and a kippah?
A hat is a beged.
Yeah,
a kippah is a beged.
You don't need for it, you said.
I didn't say you have to need it. What does it need it mean?
If you're wearing one or the other, you don't need the other.
No, it doesn't matter. It still counts as a beged. It still counts as a beged.
Always, you have to have a kippah under the hat.
Okay, if you want to wear two kippahs, it's also good enough. Okay, what's that?
That's a little like having a double head covering.
Okay, it doesn't matter. Whether you are not mapka on the double head covering or not, that's called a garment.
No, yeah.
Okay, it's called a garment. Even if you have one of these, the people with hats, so they have these special covers that are made that go right on the hat if it's raining to protect the hat. So if it's a special cover that goes on the hat, So that's considered also to be bundled to that and not be mutter. On the other hand, if it's not like that, let's say it's a plastic bag, you just put a plastic bag, you take a shopping bag and wrap up your hat. So that's not good enough. That would not be good enough unless it's protecting your body as well. Okay, if it's protecting your body as well, so then so then it'd be okay.
Garbage bags.
It's protecting your body.
Yeah.
Okay, if it's protecting your body. If it's just protecting your clothing, but not your body, so then not. Yeah.
Flip-flops. I heard that's carrying.
Why should that be carrying?
What? I don't know, I just heard it's carrying. It's not like...
It's not
mustaber. It's not fully on your foot, it like comes off a bit. Like,
sure not.
It's not mustaber to me that flip-flops would be considered carrying on Shabbos.
Because like the way you wear them, it's sort of like...
You are carrying them with your
toes. You're like carrying them with your foot every time you step, like up. You're like carrying it.
Nah.
Like, well, like that, it'll slide off though.
I don't think so. Right. I don't think so. I really don't think so. Okay, Beseder. What's that?
Chabad didn't tell me that.
Oh, don't start. Hey, listen. David, don't start acting like Chabad. She just doesn't want you to wear flip-flops, yeah. Which I'm in favor of not wearing flip-flops, especially on Shabbos. But but I don't think it's carrying. I really don't think so. Okay, Beseder. We continue on. There is a whole discussion... Now, we mentioned malbush, that's clothing. What about tachshitim? Tachshitim basically means adornments, like jewelry. So open up, here's where we go back to Chela Gimel. Open up to Simon Shin Aleph.
Why does it say...
Oh, the Hilchos Shabbos in one sentence.
Why does it say Tet Shin to Shin Tet?
They don't
want to
say Shin Tet.
What's wrong with Shin Tet?
I don't know.
Sif.
Okay, Shin Aleph, Siv Zayin. Shin Aleph.
Oh, there it is.
Okay, so Shinav of Zion, Avi Avin.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Kolei yotzei b'dvar she'eno tachshit ve'eno zerech. Malbush v'hotziu, der v'regilin l'hotziu to dvar, chayev. Kol tachshit, am shehur rafui, she'efshar lo b'kal libo, asu letze bo, v'imatza patur. V'ishe lo tetze b'tachshitim, she'darka shalfan ul'har hotz.
Okay. So if you're wearing something or carrying something which is not derech malbush, it's not the way that you normally wear things as clothing, and it's not a tachshit, it's not something that you wear for as an adornment or jewelry, but it is a normal way that you transport things, then you are chayiv. Okay? So for people who normally transport things on their head, if they're carrying something on their head, a basket on their head, so that would be chayiv, no problem. That would be a full-fledged malach. What about tachshitim? What about adornments and jewelry? So it says, if it's something which can easily fall off, so then you're not allowed to wear midrabanan. You're not allowed to wear it outside. Okay, into the Rishus Rabin. Because it might fall off, and then you might come to carry it. Now it says as follows. Isha lo teite b'tachshitim shadarka l'sholfam l'harosam. A woman, it's not limited to women, of course, but a person cannot... wear midrabanan. It's not allowed to wear jewelry or other items that one commonly takes off to show to other people. Okay, there were Rishonim who held that all jewelry items should be forbidden on Shabbos because you never know. You might meet someone outside and say, hey, look at this great new earring I have here, and then take it out. And then you're going to carry it in the Rishus HaRabim. So, Bismanenu, we're knowing, we assume Lahakel on Tachshitim. But if it's the type of an object that in normal usage people often take off for whatever reason, because it's uncomfortable, because they don't need it, or because they want to show it to their friend, so then it is usher to wear it outside of the Eruv, even if you don't intend to take it off.
You take your glasses.
One thing at a time. Oh, so glasses. Let's talk about glasses. So many, many people wear glasses. I think most people wear glasses. When they wear their glasses around, if they actually need glasses... the type of thing where you really can't function as well without your glasses on, then you don't really take your glasses off. We're not concerned that you're going to take your glasses off outside. On the other hand, you have the type of person who only he has glasses that he only uses for specialized situations, like reading glasses. Or, I don't know.
Or sunglasses.
And a chanami, sunglasses. So a person should not wear that outside the air. There is a concern that a person will take it off, and that will be a problem. Interestingly enough, maybe you wouldn't have thought this to be the case, if you have, let's say, regular glasses that you always wear. You never take them off. And you have like a clip-on sunglasses type thing. So then, that would be mutter. That would be mutter. The fact that you're going to sometimes flip it up and flip it down, that's okay. It's all considered part of the same thing. You're not knowing to like totally take off the sunglass part. So then that would be mutter. But if you have a type of a glasses that you sometimes do take off, then you can't wear it outside the area. Yeah.
What about, I'm saying for sunglasses, you don't usually carry it around in your hand. Like, if you're not wearing it on your eyes, then you'll be wearing it on like your forehead or on the neck of your shirt. So I'm saying,
okay.
There are all ways that sunglasses are normally worn.
All right, there's room to discuss.
It's not like you're wearing it in a weird way.
I hear what you're saying. There's room to discuss. We have to discuss the following. Here's what I think maybe it'll depend on. First of all, is that the mitzvah, that you don't carry it in your pocket, you don't take it, you don't carry it in your hand, you just flip it up and put it on the top of your head. And if so, if that is the mitzvah, so then is that just a method of transporting until you need it again, or is that because it's cool to walk around with sunglasses on your head? So if that's a way, if that's like a style of dress, that's how you walk around, that this with sunglasses on, either on your eyes or on your head, because that's just like, you know, so cool, and people don't normally go ahead and take it off and put it in their pocket or carry it around their hands, and achanami, there's room to think about that maybe that would really be mutter. Otherwise, if that's not the case, it's just a matter of transporting, or if people do go ahead and carry it in their hand, so then it should be a problem. Okay, what do you guys think? What's the reality? People carry it in their hands, they carry it in their pockets, they just flip it up like that?
Nice sunglasses.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's on a shirt.
That's what I said, it's usually here.
Yeah, no, carrying on your shirt, I don't know. I don't think
about
that.
Why?
It's that. It's stylish, people do it as style.
It doesn't matter if it falls off,
back into a case in the pocket.
What's that?
Case in the pocket.
No, case. So if it goes in the case in the pocket, so for sure that's a problem. Obviously that's a problem.
Wait, so if it falls off, are you allowed to pick it up?
Yeah. Well, I mean, assuming it's mutter to wear them to begin with.
Yeah.
But if it falls, I think it's different than if you put it.
Yeah. Okay, alright, so tzarchin. I don't know, I'm not going to give you a bottom line. Yeah.
What about a tie bar?
A what?
A clip on your tie, like to keep to your shirt.
Ah, to clip me.
I was going to put kilo clips.
Keep a clips. Yeah, yeah, okay. No, that's fine. That's fine.
A lot of times it slips out of the keep and now it's just stuck in your hair.
That's very uncommon. Happens to you all the time.
Wear a clip kibo.
Okay, it's serving some sort of a function. It's keeping your, you know, it's keeping your.
It's not in your kibo spot. You got to remove it. So you take it out.
I don't think it's a problem.
Overdoing it.
Okay.
What do I just put it on their hair and leave it there?
I just play with it.
I don't think it's a problem.
To get bored.
To wear kibo clips. I don't think it's a problem. To wear the tie clip either. Okay, you're wearing it as style and it keeps your tie in the place that you want it. I think that's already serving enough of a function to be considered to be derech malbush or derech tachshit. But here's an example of an interesting discussion amongst the poskim, watches. So in previous times, the poskim asered watches. Now keep in mind, how did people wear watches? They had pocket watches and they had watches on chains. That was basically what happened. So even if you were, you know, wearing a watch on a chain watch was stylish, they answered that because of a possibility that, you know, many people would carry the watch in their pocket. Because manenu, the vast, vast majority of people wear watches on their wrists. Okay, vast majority of people. So... Yeah, now is that called a tachshit? One second, a voice side. Is this called a tachshit, like a piece of jewelry, or is it just called carrying around a useful kli? So the answer is, it depends. If it's something that you just have on in order to tell the time, then it's carrying around a useful kli. If it's something that you have on because it's also a part of the way that you like to appear, you know, you wear it as a tachshit, it's part of your appearance, so then that has a din of a...
What if it's both?
Tachshit, if it's both, so then fine.
So I can wear my pocket watch outside of the earth?
1 second.
No, that was not at all the conclusion. And to really pull off a pocket watch, you need to have a vest.
There are those who write. There are those who write that bismanenu, since we wear it directly on the arm, so maybe that should even be considered to be derech levisha, even better than a tachshit. Derech levisha. In any event, it would seem that the if you have a watch which is not a regular wristwatch, so then there is what to discuss. If it's especially a pocket watch, there is what to discuss. You have a pocket watch?
Yeah.
Okay. So
every Shabbos.
You have it. What are you? It's in your pocket.
Well, sometimes I wear a vest with it, and then I put it in the little vest pocket. Yeah. And sometimes I just put it in my normal pocket.
Okay, so obviously that's called carrying something. You wouldn't be able to carry it outside the air.
The chain's there also. You can see the chain, and the chain's a little bit part of the style. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you can't. The normal way of wearing it is in the pocket, not hanging by the chain.
Yeah, it's not hanging by the chain, but the chain's hanging out. So
I don't think
so. The chain adds to the style.
I don't think that. Even if the chain is part of the style, the watch itself is not part of the style.
I've gotten many compliments from just seeing the chain. So
okay,
no one sees the pocket.
You can't even see the watch. It's just the chain.
Yeah, they see
honestly,
the chain.
I thought it was a wallet.
But they know the pocket watch is there.
I thought you had a wallet for a while.
Oh, really?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Oh, that wouldn't be bad.
I don't think so. Okay, they're going to go on this.
Like
the
chains
because people like swipe it, but nah.
The Minigolem is to be makel on the issue of the wristwatches. Okay, but not when it comes to the pocket watches.
Or chain.
Okay, we'll stop here.